Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. When I was alone, you took me in your sweet family and gave me no hope, said that I could live eternally. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snare, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for the pain I know it's always there. And finding he still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord.
Yes, with all my heart
and with all my soul,
thank you for Calvary,
treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for the hand I know is always there. And finding haste still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. In the beautiful land of where it's always springtime, and the flowers bloom on and on, where the heart's always singing with music sublime, and we sing around a beautiful throne, in that beautiful city, that pearly white city, I'm longing to be, yes, I'm longing to be. To live there forever, forever and ever, with Jesus died for me, where none will be weary, downhearted or drear, and none will be lonesome, I know. I'm dreaming again, yes, I'm dreaming today, of the beautiful city of God, where the storm never rises in the heavenly sky, and we hear not the thunder roll, and the burning tears roll not from their eyes, and they weep not on the blissful shore, in that beautiful city, that pearly white city, I'm a longing to be, yes, I'm a longing to be. To live there forever, forever and ever, with Jesus who died for me, where none will be weary, downhearted or drear, and none will be lonesome, I know. I'm dreaming again, yes, I'm dreaming today, of the beautiful city of gold, where the star never rises in the heavenly sky, and we hear now the thunder roll, and burning tears roll not from their eyes, and they weep not the blissful shore, and that beautiful city, that pearly white city, I'm longing to be, yes, I'm longing to be, to live there forever, forever and ever, with Jesus who died for me, where none will be weary, downhearted or dreary, none will be lonesome, it will be lonesome, I know. I'm dreaming again, yes, I'm dreaming today, of the beautiful city of gold. Ah, what glory awaits me in heaven's bright city. When I get there, such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will be there, I'll view them. Still Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hill of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angel choir singing, let praises forever. But Jesus will outshine them all. The sparkling river is flowing. Happy faces are glowing. Land of splendor, where night never falls. The golden glass gives reflection to that city's perfection. Still Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angel choir singing glad praises forever. But Jesus will outshine them all. The sparkling river is flowing, happy faces are glowing, rain of splendor where night never falls. The golden glass river reflection to that city's perfection, still Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory, happy reunion on streets of gold. Angel choir sing, let praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. Oh, what glory awaits me in heaven's bright city. When I get there, such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will be there, I'll view them. Still Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angel choir sing glad praises forever. But Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory, happy reunion on streets of gold. Angel choir sing glad praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. There's the holy city, whose builder and ruler is God. Judge all it descending from heaven, when Patmos in exile he trod. His high massive wall is of jasper, the city itself is pure gold. And when my thrilled and dear is fallen, mine eyes shall its glory behold. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling or mean. No pain and no sickness can enter, no crape on the doorknob is seen. Her sorrows and cares are forgotten, no tempter is there to annoy, no parting words ever are spoken, there's nothing to hurt or destroy. Cause in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp and a crown. Now I am a-watching, waiting and longing, for that white city just a-coming down. No heartaches are known in that city, no tears ever moisten the eyes. There's no disappointment in heaven, no envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified, holy, deliverance, sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. My loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends too are passing away, and soon I shall join their bright number, and dwell in eternity's day. They're safe now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter. They reach that fair city at last. For in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting and longing, for that white city just a-coming down. Now I'm watching, waiting and longing, for that white city just a-coming down. It's going to happen. Soon and very soon. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He had loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Well, we're still in Revelation chapter 3. Talking about Laodicea. That's the hour we're living in. Actually, we've passed Laodicea already.
There.
The Laodicea is over. We're living in the week of Daniel now.
Yeah, but you see the effects of Laodicea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... Laodicea is dead, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the week of Daniel. There she is, it has been. But see, that's why the truth is marching on. We've come through Sardis. We've come through Philadelphia, and now we come through Laodicea, and we're in the week of Daniel. Like the truth marches on, and then soon, very soon, we're going to see the King. It's real. It's like these. Like we the things we're saying here again, hey man, you can't tamper with it, because it's the truth. You can't mess with the truth. The minute you mess with the truth, it's not truth anymore. It's just that simple. And it all began. You could go back in John chapter 1, and I'll just kind of give you a starting point where it all began. In the beginning was the Word. See? In the beginning. Like in the beginning of beginnings. That great eternal spirit that's always been, and that's God. He's not even a person. He can't see God. He's out like the air. He's everywhere present and no absent. He's that great eternal spirit. And in the beginning, like way back, I don't know what he did in eternity yet, but there came a situation where he just sat down and meditated and taught. And the beginning was the Word. But you got to go to the real translation, and the beginning was the thought. You know, when you do something, you think, you know. Any normal human being, like spring comes around, and you start thinking, how are you going to put in your guard? You know, everything there's a thought behind everything. And here, this great mind, and great... God in the beginning was the thought, and the first thing he thought about, he wanted somebody to express himself with, because he had all his qualifications, all his attributes in him, but he had nobody to share with it. And he's just all by himself there, all by his lonesome. And they came in the situation of Rumble where he began to think. In the beginning was the thought, and the thought, and and beginning was, yeah, it says here Word, but you got to go back to the Greek and to the original copy. Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the Logos. A Logos is a thought. In the beginning was the, mm-hmm. He was just simply, a thought came up in his mind, just like when you do something. When you build a house, you think about it first. You don't just go and haphazardly do something, and gee whiz, and by golly, you just think about it, and then eventually you get the product, like I was telling you before. Like when you built that fence, you bought this property here, and you decided you want a fence. And they went around town, you went looking for fences, what kind of stuff you're going to need, but you thought about it, and then the beginning was the thought, and eventually the thought, we got the material, and you got the digger, and you got the boards and everything, and eventually you put the fence in there, and eventually there was your fence, all completed. And that's the way God is. He's just, we were built in His image and His likeness, and just like you and I think on a minor scale, that's how God thinks on a massive scale. Back then, He thought about the beginning was the thought, and the thought was with God, and the thought was God. But it says the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. But He had something in mind. The first thing He had in mind is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And everything was created because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. And see, you and I, we got the program right. We can go back there, and we can actually, in our spirit, we can sit down with that great eternal spirit billions and billions of years back when he had that counsel in himself, and we can sit there and we can think with him, and we can walk right you through right to where we are today, because from then on, once that blueprint was made, He made that blueprint and He counseled with Himself, and He had a thought, and then when He was done with that thought, He raised His right arm. He says He's going to see to it that everything is going to go exactly as He had made that blueprint. You can read it over in Ephesians 1, where He counseled with Himself, and when He was done, He said to Himself, He's going to see to it that everything will go according to the blueprint. And then the first thing He did, the very first thing He created, that angelic host. He created one angel, and maybe later on He created the second angel. And then finally, that took billions and billions of years. There wasn't even years back then, because there was no universe. It was just God that great eternal spirit, and then He decided, once He was done with that blueprint, He put it into motion. He knew exactly what He was going to need. He knew exactly how many angels He's going to need. He knew exactly what's going to happen with these angels. He knew exactly before He set it in motion. Some of these angels will prove to be unfaithful, and some of these angels will fall, and just that simple. It's just a very simple program, like when you and I, we do something, we think about it, we talk about it, we discuss it, and then we go out and do it, like just an ordinary human being. When they start up these colonies, you know, they decide they're going to do something, they decide they're going to go buy some land, and then they're going to do some blueprinting and some surveying, and so just ordinary procedure. And that's how that great God, that great eternal spirit was made back then, like He created angels, and then the program kept on moving and moving. And now here we are, at the end of that program. And actually, it never ends. It goes on over into eternity. But here we are, just past the church age of Laodicea. We're right now in the week of Daniel. We're just a few short years from the coming of the Lord and setting up His kingdom. But in between, He kind of took a break, and He's going to test the human race, and He created man back in the garden, and everything was perfect. But there was an enemy there. He told Adam and Eve, but of every tree thou mayest freely, but of the tree of the knowledge you're going to need, don't even touch it, don't go near it, because there's a lot of danger in there. There's an enemy out there. He didn't explain everything, but when we look back now, he was just more or less telling him, there is a Satan out there, and you got to be on the guard and watch that he doesn't trip you up. And that's all that you and I are doing. We're just on a 24-hour day. We're sober, we're vigilant, and we're watching that Satan doesn't trip us up with all these religiology. That's all that religion is out there, is to deceive the masses. It's just that simple. I'm just trying to continue on with this program if I don't get going on it. I want to keep reading to you about Laodicea. And that's where we're coming out of now. You got to go through it with a fine tooth comb, because there's so much in it. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. See, when I read that, in the beginning was the God, in the beginning was the Word, in the beginning was the thought. And the first thing, the beginning of the creation of God was Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. God wanted a family, and the top of that family is the Lord Jesus Christ. Like that's why we keep saying, you can't lift him up enough. You can't say nothing about Jesus, because he's the reason for the season. He's the reason that friend out there's got young ones. That's the reason he's singing in the early in the morning. That's the reason you see these trees rise. It's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan is out there. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like us knowing that. He does not like us talking about it. Like I said yesterday, you can go to the churches for 10 lifetimes. You're not going to learn nothing there, because the Satan is ahead on it. Satan is running that whole religious apparatus out there, and he's going to make sure you're just being entertained. You're being told things that have absolutely no value for the day and hour we're living. He'll never tell you what we tell the people out here. You, like I said, you learn more here in one sitting than you will out there in 10 lifetimes. Just that simple. Let's see, we're going in the beginning. I know thy work. God knows everything that's going on. We know actually what we're going to do even before we do it. I know thy work, that thou wert neither cold nor hot. Would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. It's just that very simple, so simple a program. Laodicea is dead. That religious world out there is dead. It's got no value. It's been spewed out. He said he'll vomit them out, and there they are. And then the minute God leaves them be, Satan is there just to pervert everything. And like I said yesterday, he has infiltrated every aspect of society. There's nothing left. The only thing that's left now, what you and I are putting out there, we're the only two people on planet Earth right now that has this program right, that can come out and tell the people exactly where we are at the time, exactly what's going on, without unwavering, without walking on eggshells, without telling people exactly where we are at the time, right to the day. If you want to take time out and do the math and do the calculating, just go to October the 15th, 2021, and from there you count 1,260 days, and then you count 42 months, and there is the end of Satan's reign, because his time is limited. He's only got 6,000 years from the day that he got Adam and Eve to follow his trickery, and we know exactly where we are at time. We don't have to know, we don't have to go back and start counting. All we need is that midnight cry. Once we got that midnight cry, we know it's exactly the middle of Laodicea, 1963, February the 28th, and then we know the beginning. We keep saying it over and over again, because you have to repeat it. You're dealing with a bunch of people out there that are drunk, that are blind, that have been brainwashed all these years, that we... this here's a shaking up program, so they can't receive nothing that you and I say, because they're brainwashed. They're drunk with the wine of that religious fortification, and Satan has done a real good job in leading people astray. And when we come along, we tell people the truth, then the truth is evil spoken of. The truth is not very acceptable. But see, we got a mandate. We just got to keep chipping away. At the end of the day, the truth will always be the truth. The minute, like I say, the minute you mess with it, it's not truth anymore. But you and I, we're telling people the truth right to the very day, October the 15th, 2021. And like I say, from there, it's exactly back in the book of Revelation. It's so priceless. It tells you right to the day, 1260 to the middle of the week of Daniel, and then from there, for some reason, he counts 42 months because the middle has something to do with it. Then it switches out 42 months, and then after the 42 months, that big angel comes down, and he takes a chain, and he ties up Satan, and he throws him into hell for 1,000 years. He's no more till 1,000 years are over, and then once 1,000 years are over, he's let loose to go out and test the people that will be born in the millennium, because everything has to be tested. You and I are being tested here. What are we going to do with the Word of God? Are we going to be faithful, or are we going to be compromised? Are we going to let that religiology, these tubs and these pulpits, are we going to let them deceive us and take us down a rabbit hole, or are we going to stay true to the Word of God? It's that simple. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord, most of all, Lord, that you've given us an understanding of your Word. That's all we ever wanted, Lord, in life. All we ever wanted was to understand that Bible, that gold mine that we read in your Word one time, and there are hidden all the treasures. And then we got digging into it, and we didn't understand it. But you saw our need, you saw our desire, you saw all that we ever wanted in life was to understand your Word and get to know this great God and Jesus Christ whom we sent, because we read somewhere, and your Word, this is eternal life, that they know God and Jesus Christ and we send. And then you brought us together. Now we can enjoy each other and you continue on the journey to that celestial city that we're singing about. We just always want to give you thanks, Lord. We never want to take it for granted. We just pray to just continue to do it as you see fit. Lead and guide us by your Spirit. Help us to be faithful here, Lord, in the closing days of time where the treachery is so deceptive. Seducing spirit, doctrines of devils, false teaching all around us, Lord. And we just ask for your grace to be faithful and true for what you've called us to be, Lord. We just pray to get that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Like it's a fight. It's a fight to the finish. It's a matter of life and death. That's why we're doing what we're doing here, just to keep our lips all trimmed and burning. We have nothing else to do. And here, these closing days of time, the Lord has given us the mandate and he's given us the job to do, because he knew if he ever gives us this here job, then he knows we're going to do it. We're going to do it to the best of our ability. And we're not going to cave, because over the years he's tested us time and time again to see if we're going to stay with that Word. And then when he brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham, and then everybody, family and friends and foe, they tried to divert us away from Brother Brandon. But the more they tried, the more we dug our roots down, just like that plant out in the garden when you sow plants. And the more wind you get, the more the roots go down. And that's what we did. The more they tried to persecute us, harass us, and falsely accuse us, the more our roots went down. And now we're solid. We're standing strong and firm, and we're not going to bend now. We know we got the truth for the day. Like I say, there's 8+ billion people on planet Earth, and you and I, we're the only two people that can tell people the truth of the matter. It's just that simple. Go out there and find out. You can go on your YouTube. You can go and listen to all these dumpers out there, cricket and million beating their gums together. They don't even know what they're talking about. They'll never tell you what we're telling you. And here we are, just two people down here at the end of the street, just telling people the truth. Like I say, out of 8+ billion, that's some billion people on planet Earth, we're the only two people that can tell people where it's at, because the Lord had found us faithful and true. Who is then that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord found faithful to deliver meat and due season, to roll out that living water that the Revelation talks about? Come and drink out of the waters of life freely, because whosoever will let him come, whosoever is a thirst, let him come. This is that. This is that spring. This is that final message, that final invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. 10 years ago, I couldn't say it the way I can say it now, but now I know for sure this is that, because we got scripture to back it up. And That's why we're doing what we're doing here, because we know that's the only one thing that's left, the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you accept that, you wouldn't have to go to the day of the Lord. You wouldn't have to go to the tribulation hour. You wouldn't have to be swept out, be sucked into that world council church, that image of the beast and the mark of the beast. That's all part of that. When once the rapture happened, that Satan is just going to take over, and he's going to take the heavens of the earth out to hell and death. It's just that simple, because we read a program, you and I did. That's all we ever wanted. And life was to understand the Word of God. And now God, rich in mercy, has given us not only the understanding of it, he's given us the mandate to put it out there. For whosoever will, let it come and partake of the waters of life freely. Just that simple. You can't make it any simpler. Everything in God is simple and easily to be understood. That's all I can see.
Well, a lot of these churches out there, number one, they don't have the Godhead right. So how can they teach you who God is, who the Lord Jesus Christ, in its complete picture, giving you the full counsel of God, when they don't see the picture themselves? Because they are Trinitarians. They believe in that God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Trinitarians, they believe that Jesus was there in the beginning of creation. See, Jesus wasn't there when God started creating, but he was a thought in the mind of God. Mm-hmm. I used to read, I was still in the colony, I used to read John chapter 1, and it was so confusing to me. It's because when you will read it, it says in the beginning was the Word, and then it kind of confuses you. You can't really comprehend that. But when you will go to the Greek text, it will tell you that the Word in Greek means logos, and then when you go, what logos means, it says a thought or a concept, and the expression or utterance of that thought. See, that's the expression or utterance of that thought. See, that utterance of that thought that was in the mind of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't come into existence until that angel Gabriel came to Mary, and that thought was spoken, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, and then she bore a son 9 months later and had Jesus. But that thought was totally conceived by the Holy Spirit. It had nothing to do with Mary or Joseph. It was totally the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And when you will see the whole picture of everything, but Jesus, everything was created with Jesus in mind and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because when you will understand, when God started this great plan that he had, like Paul writes it in Ephesians 1, he had this great plan and he wanted to create. But he knew if he wanted to express all of his attributes, all of who he is to his creation, it will require redemption, because he's also a redeemer. He's a healer. And all these attributes is God. And he wanted to express them. And that fullness of that expression will only come because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of redemption, because all of creation would fall, because that's what, when you create something and you don't want a robot, there is going to be something that will fail. And that's exactly what happened. You can see in the prehistoric hour where the angelic king family was being tested, and some were found not to be faithful. The same way with creation of man. In the Garden of Eden, God tested man to see what part of tree they're going to partake of. And they partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the very tree that God said that they should not partake of. And that set that whole human family into that sin aspect that we have today. And you can see that that is why when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look at redemption, how he went to Calvary, how he redeemed through his blood, made an atonement so he can redeem all of creation back to God. See, those are the attributes and the characteristics of God. And without those, we won't fully know who God is. Like and like we said, without the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, you have all these Trinitarians out there. You would not know the full counsel of God because they believed that Jesus was there in the beginning of creation, helping God create. See, that is not the real picture. And without Brother Brenham, Brother Jackson, you will not see the real picture of what it's all about. We didn't even know of a prehistoric hour when people talked about the dinosaurs. Like, you always wondered where the dinosaurs came from. And Brother Brenham, all he said was the seed was from a pre-existing creation. And and Brother Jackson took it, and then he had messages out there about the testing and fall of Satan, where Satan beginning was and where he fell. It was in his creation when the whole angelic family was tested before man was. See, when man was, God recreated this planet and brought it back into alignment, and that was the recreation of the earth. But before then, there was a creation that existed, and that was the dinosaur and that animal kingdom in that prehistoric hour. And when you will see the whole counsel of what God was doing and how he would need angels for the creation of man, and then he would need a redeemer. But that was the first thing in his mind, because that if you want your creation to succeed, you would first and foremost have to know that you were going to have a way out if it went wrong. So that is the whole plan. Is God is knows that when things go wrong, he has that redeemer in his mind that will exist and bring it back to him.
Yes, that's why we keep saying, in the beginning was the thought, but that thought lay in the mind of God for eons and eons and millions and billions of years. That thought lay in the mind of God, but from time to time he would reach into that thought, and all that angelic host, he created that because of Jesus Christ, because, like you were saying, he knew as time goes on, he's going to put man down here, and man is going to need somebody as ministering spirit so we can make it through this jungle here. And then he started creating these angels, and every angel was there. They were perfect. But he's going to, once he's got all these angels created, Then he moved the plan ahead. The truth keeps marching on, and then they were all there. You can go back over in Job 38. Where were you when all the sons of God shouted for joy, and the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Every angel was right there. Lucifer was there. All these demons were there, but they were not called demons. They were simply angels. They were perfect until iniquity was found in them. Then once these angels were there, and God created that universe, and he created the planets and everything out there, then he created planet Earth, and then he's going to put an animal kingdom on there to test these angels, that millions and millions, legions of angels, he's going to test them, but he's going to use the animal kingdom, and he's going to use planet Earth to test them, see which one they're going to be faithful. And the first we can read it over in Jude, the angel that kept not the first to see. Each angel had a job to do, and all they would have had to do was stay within the confines of their jurisdiction. But see, they can do a better job, and then they conceded in Jude, the angel that kept out the first state. They didn't keep their job that God appointed them to do. And then you could go over and repeat with the angel that sinned. When you leave your first estate, of course you're going to sin. And that created this whole chaos and the universe, that the angels of Jude, they became so wicked that God had to destroy this planet, and he had to put them into chains of everlasting darkness. To this day, these angels are chained up. They can't navigate. And then he had to destroy that whole animal kingdom, and then he had to destroy this planet, put this planet into an ice age, and then he had to watch it millions of years, maybe. Then he recreated that planet again, but now he's not going to test the angel of Jude. He's called the angel of Jude. They had already been, because now he's going to test these morning stars. Lucifer and Michael and all these things, and these morning stars, he's going to test them, and then he created this planet again, and then an animal kingdom on there, because we went to these museums. We talked to these people out there. Said there's two sets of mountains. They told us about the dinosaurs. They're so and so many years old. And then the first day, the dinosaurs didn't kill each other. It was only afterward, after the angels started, Jude started messing with the breeding, with the genetics, and they got these angels, these dinosaurs to kill each other. On and on the program goes. We found that out when we read List of Brother Jackson, The Test Against Fall of Satan. It's all out there. That's what we've been doing for the last 30, 40 years. We got ourselves educated and we put our life on the line to get what we know today. And now we're letting people know where we are. Time. We're right here in the closing day of the time at the end of that chapter, because back then God, when he had a count, he put it into motion, created his angel, and then he created the planet to test his angel with. And there came a time, like I say, when these angels and Jews fell, and they were chained into everlasting chains of darkness, and they're still today, they're not out there, that's enough. But it's these angels that Lucifer and his crowd, they're not tied up. God's going to keep them here for a purpose, to test you and I, to see what we're going to do with their word. If we're going to be faithful and true, and what we're going to do with Jesus and all that. And that's our daily battle. We just make sure that we're faithful and true. Like I was telling you about that Ian Mandel from Pine Creek yesterday. And we sent him some messages, and like for 2-3 months, he couldn't wait to get listening what we have to say. But now, see, how he's got a decision to make. But that Carl, we sent him some books back in the day, and he rejected it. And he decided he's not going to have nothing to do with truth, and the same with that Leonard. I presented that Leonard from Delta with the truth, and he decided he didn't want it back in the kangaroo courts. He knew exactly what I'm about, because I had him in my house, him and that Levi from Westbrook. They were in my house till 1 o'clock at night, and I told them how Christianity works. They know all about this thing, but they decided they don't want it. They want to continue on with their program and hold on and go out to take the people out to hell and death. They hold on to that World Council of Churches, the image of the beast and the mark of the beast. That's all that Leonard has to give to the people. And now that Ian, he heard about us. He listened to us every day. And he had to make a decision. Because here is his father-in-law. And here's that Leonard. And here's his wife. And here's his mom. And they're all decided they want to go down to the image and the mark of the beast. So he's going to have to make a decision. You want to go down that path? And all of a sudden, just like a knife, he just cut us off, and now he's going to go out to that image to the beast and the mark of the beast. But see, he had a choice to make. Everybody had to make a choice. It's the same with me. I had to make a choice. I did. I saw the cracks in that satellite system. I saw that it's none of God or of the devil, and I had to make a choice, and I went up against it. put my life on the line, of course it's going to cost you something. That's the test that you and I have to make. That's that open door. In order for you to go into that open door, you've got to leave what's behind in that old school, and you got to go through that open door into the ministry of Brother Branham, Brother Jackson, and to Laodicea, into that open door. And that's what I did. You and I, we went into that open door. Of course you're going to get persecuted, because now you got an enemy. You got the devil on your tail 24/7. But see, we're on the winning side, because we made up our mind we were going to follow Jesus no matter what. And then the devil, he uses these religious tugs to try to drag you back into their gutter. All it is, all that other thing is a religious gutter. There's nothing in there. You got no promise. You're spewed out. And once you're spewed out, then the devil comes in and takes over. Now all these religions out there, all these churches, they have become a cage and a hole of every foul and hateful bird. You can read it over in the book of Revelation, where he begs that he saw that angel come out of saying, going all over the heavens and saying with a loud voice, come out of her, my people. If you do not come out, you're gonna receive her plagues, and he's gonna take you out to hell. You're gonna have to go to that tribulation hour. Just that simple. That's where we are at time. And like I say, you're going to learn more here in one setting than you would out there in 10 lifetimes in these churches, because the churches, they're controlled by Satan, and Satan is going to see to it that you'll never hear the truth. Just like these tugs, just like that Leonard and these tugs and these colonies, these preachers, they'll make sure you're not allowed to listen to what Sam and Lorraine have to say. And if you do, you're going to get threatened, and that's what they do. They threaten you and they fearmonger you, because it says, fear not them that kill the body. Eventually, as time goes on, they're going to eventually kill you. Like it's just part of the pro. That's just what he does. He can't do no other than play dirty, and then he uses these tucks and these pulpits to do dirty work. It's just that simple. But see, we got his number, and they don't intimidate. We're not even listening to them, because we've made up our mind. We know exactly what it's going to cost. But see, we went through that open door, and we found out what Brother Branham said. We found out what Brother Jackson said. We found out exactly where we are in time. We're just a few more years, just under 3 years, where Satan is no more. And then Jesus comes down at the day of the Lord, and that's just a beautiful picture. But see, you got to be committed. You got to, like you and I, we've surrendered our way to the Lord. We don't care what's going on around us. We just decided one day we want to follow Jesus. But on that journey, there's a lot of pitfalls, and there's a lot of treachery. But see, as long as you're the Word, as long as you're obedient to the Lord, He's gonna see to it that you make it through the jungle. It's just that simple. But the truth keeps marching on. Now we have a choice to make. We either march along with the truth, or we're gonna be left out of the cold. And that council church, that image of the beast, it's like a giant vacuum. It'll just drag you right and to the gutter, and you take you out to hell and that. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, and we give you thanks, Lord, for what you've done in the church age of Laodicea, how you've restored these things, the truths that have been lost, how the enemy and the Antichrist spirit take away the true and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you came to restore. Through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, we give you thanks for that, that you saw fit to give us that whole counsel to see your wonderful attributes, all your wonderful ways, and your principles and your statutes, Lord, that you have, Lord. We just want to put it out there for people, Lord, so they can know the truth, Lord, of your word and your creation, Lord, and who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.